Well, B, Matt, was that Greg?
I think Greg was on here. I swear I heard his voice.
That was me, but I had it on. I accidentally put it on mute for a moment.
Well, I gotta say, I didn't hear you.
I just asked you how things were in sunny California.
Actually, things are pretty good here. Got a lot of rain up north where my family lives, but down here where I live, we didn't get hardly much of the rain at all.
So, well, we can go ahead and get started. Thank you guys all for being on here today. I appreciate it. I'll let Jerry go ahead and open up for us.
Okay. Well, you know, I look forward to these conference calls. It's one of the few opportunities I have in talking to listening to you fellows, and I consider it a privilege, and it's one of the more important things that happens that we have these conference calls, because of Matt's expertise and the information that he is putting out, which is spot on, regardless of what the subject might be. And always look forward to it. And I know you have access to Matt almost any hour of the day and night. And I'd like to invite you to feel free to call us as well. And I'll be happy to give you my cell number, which I'll do right now in the event you ever need it, want it. And it's 816-835-1448. And of course, you have the office 800 numbers that are on the on our website. So anyway, we do appreciate you being on. It shows interest in continuing to refresh and learn. So thanks again. And Matt, there you go.
All right, thank you. And that was Jerry Myrick. I'll just say it for the recording, if anybody listens to this later, who's the president and owner of Pacesetter. So thank you, Jerry. This is Matt Kuhn. I'm the national sales director with Pacesetter. And I really enjoy these calls and talking with everybody. And I've been doing this for quite a while. And every time I walk away from a conference call we have, I always pick up on something from another agent. So I think it's great to be on here. And there's no doubt that if you look at our conference calls when we have them, it's usually our best producers that are on there. Those are the guys that are always learning. No matter how much business they're out writing, they always want to learn. Even if it's not learning facts about a product or about sales, just learning the nuances from other agents and, you know, different ways to do things. But it's not a coincidence that the guys that are out writing are the ones that always make sure they get on calls and they're always trying to learn and stay fresh. So when we have these calls, again, absolutely open forum for you guys to bring up anything that's on your mind, anything you want to talk about, anything you want to talk about and get opinions on from other agents that are out there doing it themselves. So if a call's ever heading a direction and you want to talk about something else, don't be hesitant to bring it up. Or at the end of the call, if there's something you haven't touched on that you want to get into, then by all means, throw it out there. I'm sure multiple people will be able to have some input on it. So something I wanted to bring up first thing was just appointment setting. I talked with a couple brand new agents this week who are out and about for their first week or two. And we've had some discussions on appointment settings, but I think it's just something good to go back into. You know, first of all, appointment setting in general, it's not even absolutely necessary. You know, when we work a direct mail system, especially, you know, most of us are out working direct mail leads that say life insurance on them. If you very, very viable to just go out, put your leads in geographical order and start knocking on doors or a warm knock or however you want to phrase it. That's something, that's what I did for my first 7 years, selling final expense, never, ever, ever touched the telephone. And I can tell you, I've got a brother-in-law in Oklahoma/Texas that writes for $300,000 a year and never picks up a phone. So the naysayers on door knocking saying that it's not efficient and there's no way successful in this business without setting appointments are simply off target. They don't know what they don't know. Because I don't know how you can ever tell me that a guy that can write over $300,000 in a year without picking up the phone is not efficient. If one single person can do that in 1 year, I'm pretty sure we all agree that's efficient if you can produce that kind of business. So if you're not comfortable on the phone, if you don't like the phone, if you're not having results on the phone, simply don't use it. That's not to say you can't go back to use it later, but grab your leads, head out the door and go visit with those people. And for a lot of guys, that's just simply a better approach to take because their presence is very strong. At the door, they're very strong. You know, when they can see somebody eye to eye, they do a great job. Well, a lot of those guys be better off just not picking up the telephone. So if you fit in that, you know, give it a try, even if it's for a week, see how it works for you. Now, assuming that you set appointments, and that's where I'm at right now. I call and set what appointments I can. But, you know, if I call through my 30 leads for the week and I have a horrible response on the phone as far as picking up, I don't fret at all about it. That means I have to go door knocking, and I'm completely fine with that because I'm very comfortable with what the results are going to be still, even those people wouldn't pick up the phone. But back to some of the new agents that I'd visit with this week, you know, we'd have a conversation. He's like, well, I talked to this guy and he's got this policy and this policy. And, he's got, he had a heart attack 6 years ago and his wife had a policy, but she canceled it. But first of all, to me, if you know all that information, that's a huge red flag. You simply should not know that on the telephone. Now, in that scenario, it probably worked out great for you because the guy is wanting to talk to you, he's giving you information, he still wants you to come out and see him. Wonderful. But as a whole, and over time, if you're getting that detailed on the phone, you're losing a lot of prospects. You simply are. And like I said, that's tough for guys to look at and accept a lot of times because in this one instance, or these certain instances, these people were very talkative on the talk, and they're still wanting me to have an appointment and everything else. But what we can't ever measure is the people that you ended up losing by giving them too much information on the phone. You know, what we kind of like to look at, you know, when you're trying to set an appointment, there's a barter or a trade going on right there. They want information which you have. You want an appointment. You want a time which you can meet with them. And if you give up what you have, what they want, that information, they don't need to meet with you anymore. So if you start talking about products at all or start doing any kind of vetting on the phone as far as, you know, budget, as far as existing coverage, anything like that, I promise you that you're going to lose prospects. So kind of the first thing I want to throw out there, I mean, when our school of thought is when we're setting appointments, we are simply finding a time which we know they're going to be there and we can get the information out to them. So less is more. I would say when I set an appointment, my average time on phone, you know, once they pick up is like a minute to a minute and a half. Very, very simple, very streamlined. And I think I think that's the best way to do it. I know it's not the only way to do it, but I do think it's the best way to do it when it comes to final expense because we want to get out in front of those people. We want to sit at somebody's table and look at them face to face. And the less we say on the phone, the more people are going to be able to see face to face. So even if it's, you know, I've already got that taken care of, no problem. I'll review your policy for you. How's 11 o'clock work tomorrow? That's fine. I don't even want to talk about what you have or who's it with or how much coverage or what are you paying or how long have you had it? I don't know any of that. You know, I'll figure that all out when I get there and I can sit down and warm up to somebody, you know, get your policy out. Because the biggest reasons for that too is most of the people, when they tell you what they have coverage-wise, are not correct. They might think they're correct. They're not trying to lie to you. But a lot of times when they have $10,000 for $32 a month, they actually have $5,000. Or when they have, oh, I know it's a whole life. Well, no, it's not. It's a term policy. So to even ask for any of that information, or if it's just thrown out there to listen to it, just doesn't make any sense, because a lot of times it's not going to be correct anyway. So I think most of you have seen our appointment setting script, which is in our it's just posted on our training website, and then also in our final expense training manual, but that's what I use. And I think it's very effective. And, you know, when it comes to the phone, less is more. So, before I ramble any longer on that, does anybody have any questions specifically about appointment setting? Another conversation I had, this week was talking about times to call to set an appointment. What I consider to be kind of the golden hour, the power hour, is Sunday afternoons, late afternoon on a Sunday, 5 o'clock on a Sunday, somewhere in there. That is by far and away when I get the best results from making phone calls and setting appointments. Once in a blue moon, I'll have somebody that's put off by me calling on a Sunday. But I can tell you it's rare. I mean, if maybe once every other month somebody says, hey, it's Sunday, I'm not going to talk to you right now. And I just say, no problem, I'll catch you later in the week. And then I'm usually knocking on their door by Tuesday or so. So I've never lost a lead from it. But every now and then, very, very rare that's ever an issue. But, you know, if I sat down with 30 leads, start making phone calls on Sunday, I mean, you can absolutely pack your Monday full. People will answer. People aren't hurried. They're not in a rush. You know, after, if they do, they're still working age, in a rush, they just got home trying to get dinner made or anything like that. They're relaxed. Their day's done. That's what I consider the best time to set appointments. another rule, which I think everybody's pretty accepting of, is, you know, those appointments, you should always be shooting to try to make them for the Tuesday. So if you're calling on Sunday, your goal should be for a Monday appointment out of that. To try to set for Tuesday and Wednesday or 2 or 3 days out, in the long run, is going to cause you issues with no-shows. You know, we get no-shows already calling 24 hours in advance, or, you know, 20 hours in advance. People that just flat forget. But if you calling, booking appointments 2 and 3 days out, you're definitely going to have issues with it. Other than that, you know, Sunday I'm calling for Monday, and then, you know, usually on Monday night when I'm done, whether it's 7 o'clock or whatever time it is that I'm done, I'll get back on the phone and call back through those ones that I couldn't get on Sunday. You know, you usually get a little bit. You might get a couple that picked up that you couldn't get on Sunday. Not a ton, but again, the ones that just simply aren't ever going to pick up, whether you called once or 100 times, you know, you've got a nice signed lead in your hand with their signature on it that makes you feel very comfortable when you go knock on their door with it. So if you call them for 2 or 3 days in a row and they're not picking up, then by all means, you should be out knocking on the door and getting in front of them that way.
Hey, Matt, do you space those out, like an hour and a half between the appointments?
Yeah, you know what I do? I mean, my appointments are pretty much on the hour, but I give an hour window. So if I'm sitting down on Sunday to make calls for Monday, you know, I'll just say, I set the actual appointment for a time, and then before off the phone, I turn it into an hour window. So, you know, I go through my spiel of, you know, I've got to be over there. I have to you also, is morning or afternoon better for you? And they say afternoon. Right. I can catch you about 1 o'clock. How's that work? Yeah, I'll be here. Okay. Well, I say what, I'll catch you tomorrow between 1 and 2, and it'll only take us about 10 or 15 minutes. and then schedule them out on the hour. My big deal with the 1 hour window is to make myself more productive while I'm in the field. So if it's 12:30 and I'm in the neighborhood and I've got a couple door knocks that I can do, well, if I have a strict concrete 1 o'clock appointment and I go on a 12:30 and get in the house and make a sale and it takes too long, I'm late for my 1 o'clock. But if I have a 1 hour window, you know, I can not hesitate at all. Even at 12:45, I can go knock on a door. And if I get in there and make a sale and I'm in that house till, you know, 1:30 or so, that's fine. I can still get to my clock on time. So on the hour with 1 hour windows is what I use. Again, you'll have to adjust that depending on the geographical area you're working also. And, you know, only you know how far it is to get from one side of Denver to the other side of Denver or whatever it is. So,
okay, gotcha.
And again,
Hey, Matt?
Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, okay. One thing, this is for people who haven't done this much before. What I have found is those days where I have a full day of appointments, I have like 8 or 9 appointments, I always plan on about 40% of no-shows. If you have a full schedule and then all of a sudden you have 40% of no-shows, you can be set up for disappointment. So I always carry leads with me because that no-show that was supposed to, you were for sure that they were going to be there and they're not there for whatever reason. If you bring your leads with you, you won't be disappointed because you can door knock the ones who you called the night before and they hung up on you. They said, no, I'm not interested at all. I've door knocked those and sold those the very next day, even though they hung up on me the night before. So don't get disappointed. Just be prepared. The more prepared we are, the less disappointed we're going to be.
Yeah. I'm just going to expand on Greg there real quick. I think that's a good point. I always have all of my leads in that county with me when I'm working. I mean, I want to make sure, you know, again, if you're going to be focused and try to not spread yourself out working 7 days a week, you know, then the 2 or 3 days that you are in the field, you got to be super productive, you know, from sun up to sundown. So yeah, you always got to make sure you have stuff with that you can door knock. I've never seen 40% no shows. I think that would be extremely high. I don't know if that's because you're using an appointment center and Greg, or but you're inevitably going to have some no shows. I mean, if I set 10 appointments, I'll probably have two no shows, something like that. And one of them probably on purpose because their daughter told them they don't need to talk to me. And the other one's probably just plain forgot, and I'll be able to reschedule that one later in the week. But yeah, I think that's a very good point, Greg. You always got to have all your leads with you so you can stay productive and knock when you're not have an appointment that doesn't pan out. So, did somebody else have a question?
Yeah, Matt, this is Tony. In that Buford book, I got a hot tip from him, and that's if you call when you're setting your appointments and someone doesn't answer, if you call back right away again, just redial that same number. I would say probably 1 in 10 actually answer the phone on the second dial. And I got that out of that Duford's deal.
Yeah.
When you're actually making your appointments.
I think that's a sound point. And especially some of you guys, like if you're only working 15 or 20 leads a week, call through them. And when you're done, flip them over and call through them right again. And you'll be surprised. You'll have, you know, 2 or 3 of them that pick up on that second one because that triggers something in their mind. Well, this must be important if this number's calling back again. So yeah,
that's why in his book, and what I do is I call back immediately because then they think maybe it's a family emergency or something. It's amazing how many will answer. But we had a question on timing. If you make a rural neighbor sale, how long does the average time that takes to complete that whole deal? Because Kevin did a couple here yesterday and it seemed to take a long time.
You know, I just look at my timer on my phone on all the ones that I do, and I'm usually like right at 19 minutes on rural neighbors. It can run, you know, a couple minutes longer if they see a med and they want to talk about it. But, you know, most of my rural neighbors, meds are not even brought up. I mean, they look at the strip check, you know, it all checks out, and so they don't even talk about meds. But 19 minutes is about where I've seen it now. I think you probably all saw a memo that Royal Neighbors sent out earlier this week. They actually were trying to do a couple modifications that were going to take effect as of, was it yesterday or today? And from what I read, that looks like it should shorten things. There's going to be less information that they have to verify when they get the client on the phone. So cut that down at all.
Matt, this is Kevin. When I did the Royal Neighbors, is this the first thing I did on the phone there? Is it customary that they ask for the prescription list that the folks are on because they want it to go through each and every one?
Well, and that would probably tell us that there was some red flag that popped up. I mean, some potential problem, because no, that's not customary. I would say of the last six Royal Neighbors, we have one that we talked about meds, and I think, and I don't really know, but my thought is they saw something that was a potential problem and they wanted verification on it. And so once they got to that point, they wanted to look at all medications. So, I know I talked with an agent, last night who had just wrote one and, I don't remember what it was. It was a medicine. And when he asked, she said, no, never taken it. And then when the interviewer got on, he saw that same medication, and the client was like, oh, yeah, I took that, but it was like 3 years ago, and everything was fine. It got issued just fine, but there was that little bit of discrepancy in there, so they didn't dive into the medication. So, no, Kevin, I wouldn't expect that.
Okay.
By any means.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Kevin, when you had that, did it still go through? Everything was fine?
And yes, it did go through, but I guess before they even, my question was, they wanted that right at the time of application, and I didn't realize that they were going to be requesting all of her medications.
Yeah, they usually don't. I mean, if you look at that Royal Neighbors worksheet, it does have a spot where you can list those, Andy, which I always do anyway, just because it's part of my underwriting process, because you can tell me all you want about whatever, COPD, and they tell me that you have Combivent, then you probably have COPD. So I'm always looking at medications and writing them down anyway, so I would always have them handy. But I think it's rare, or definitely not the norm, for Royal Neighbors to actually ask you for them.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, so, you know, when you're talking, again, to relate this back, we were talking about how far apart to space appointments. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that's going to come down to your experience, how efficient you are in a house of getting to the sale, and then also the actual, you know, application part of it and everything else. In my experience, though, that Royal Neighbors doesn't take maybe 5 minutes longer than if you were going to go through and actually fill out an app and get signatures and everything else. But you know, you might find that you're a little bit slower in a house, and that 1 hour appointments on the hour is too close for you, and you can spread them. You know, that's completely fine too, but it's all, you know, just relative to how quick and how efficient you are when you're in a house. Something I've found, though, again, that 1 hour window. So even if I'm on the hour every hour, if I do get behind, I'm going to catch up. I mean, it's just simply, if I get behind for one appointment, you know, even outside of my 1 hour window, even if I have a full day at 10 or 12 appointments, I'll be caught up within the next appointment or two, because you're going to have one where you go in, it's a deal that's dead in the water right when you sit down. Here's my card, got to go. Thanks, bye-bye. I'm right back on schedule. Or you do have a no-show that happens, or, you know, or supposed to meet with husband and wife, and husband had to run out, so you had to reschedule that one for tomorrow or whatever. But if you're scheduling 1 hour windows on the hour, if you get behind, you will get caught back up anyway. And I would much rather have my schedule too full than I would be sitting there to talk to. So wrapping up on appointment settings, anybody else have any other questions about appointment setting, or even scheduling your week or anything like that? Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention was, writing smaller face amount policies. Again, conversations that I've had with guys this week, they simply wouldn't offer anything less than 5,000. Even sitting talking to a 78-year-old guy, just wouldn't go below 5,000. My philosophy on that is, come down to whatever fits in the budget. There's nothing wrong with writing a $3,000 policy. Of course, in those older ages, it might still be a $45, $50 premium at 3,000, depending on age and health. But even in the, people that are in their 60s, if you come down and you write a policy that's $25 a month, you've got that client on the books. You can go back and see them again in a year or in 2 years or whenever it works into your schedule. And there is a very high likelihood that you're going to write them another $25 a month at that time. So, just the fact that we can get those people as clients, get them, comfortable having a policy, get them used to paying a premium every month, there's a very good chance you're going to rewrite on those. Once you get established and once you've been writing and you have your own client base built up, you can easily increase your annual premium that you're writing, your annual production, by 25% when you start adding in your revisits on existing clients. Easy. And that's not even talking like referrals of family members that you're going to pick up when you stop by and visit with them, or their sister was wanting to look at coverage or whatever it is. I'm just talking simply on additional sales to the same insured. You can increase your annual premium that you produce by 25% by going back and visiting those people. So just get them on the books. Don't hesitate to come down to whatever fits in the budget for them. And I think that the issue I had with an agent that I was talking to earlier this week was, when I do my presentation, my script, it usually says, we can do programs anywhere from a minimum of 5,000 up to a maximum of 35,000. So I say that in my script, but if once we get into a close, if we're trying to figure something that works, I have no problem coming down to 3,000 or 2,500 or whatever that carrier's minimum is, something on the books. Does anybody else have to add to that? Go ahead.
This is Jerry. You touched on a very valuable point there about coming down to get a policy on the books. Historically, it's part of our history. We have a fellow who called me one night and he says, "I've got this thing figured out." And I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "I've been trying to sell too much." And he said, "They can't afford it." So he said, and this is the way he actually phrased it. They couldn't afford the $5,000 policy. And he says, "Okay, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start you out with $2,000. Now, I'm going to come back and see you in a year or close to a year. And then we're going to increase this another $2,000. We'll get you up to where you need to be." And he made an incredible amount of sales. He was 8 to 10 apps a week, like every week, so it's important to not lock in on a minimum in your mind as to what you want to sell. You just want to get an application, and that 25% increase in new premium each year is an actual fact on writing increases on your existing policyholders, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I kind of plant that seed in my presentation also. Even if I'm making a $7,000 or a $10,000 face amount sale, it's stated right there when we're talking is, this program is adjustable. We can always add on to it later on. So a year from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, whatever it is, you know, you decide that 7,000 is not going to be enough because either the cost of funerals keeps going up, which we know it's going to, or you want to leave extra for your kids or grandkids or whatever it is, we can always come back and adjust your program. So then when I do go visit with them a year from now or 2 years from now, I just simply say, hey, you remember when I was here last time, I told you that we can always adjust your programming. We can always add additional coverage for you. Well, that's what we're going to do right now. So let's look at your health and see what we can get you qualified for. Anybody else have anything I'd like to add on that? Okay. Another thing I wanted to bring up was, you know, trying to find who your, you know, two or three carriers that you want to focus on, or one or two carriers that you want to focus on, the benefits of that. You know, sometimes we have agents that get real spread out and, you know, got, you know, 8 or 10 different carriers that they're submitting business to, you know, which is fine. There's a lot of ways to do this business, but the benefits, if you try to keep your circle a little bit smaller, a couple things, first of all, one, you know, the underwriting in and out of those carriers that you're using, you become very familiar with what's going to qualify for level, what's not, what's going to be a problem, what's going to cause an amendment. So sometimes if guys get to where they're spreading business out all over the place, they end up with apps that get caught up with every carrier. There's amendments out there to where, you know, either they didn't fill the app out right because it's not something they're doing every day, so they're not that familiar with it, or they made the incorrect underwriting decision because, again, they're not that familiar with it. And that just ends up being a problem that costs you money. You know, anytime we got an app in there that's hung up on an amendment, that's painful for all of us to see because we did our job as a salesperson. We made the sale, we got the commitment, you know, we got the premium, but we're not getting paid on it. And that person doesn't have coverage because it's caught up on an amendment or because it's got a counter offer on it or something like that. So if you can try to keep your circle smaller, find out who it is if you want to be your go-to, you can prevent a lot of those amendments because, one, you become better at your job, and two, those underwriters get to know you. So it doesn't matter which one of our carriers we're talking about, you know, instead of sending them one app every other week, if you're sending them, you know, 2, 3, 4 apps every week, they know you. So you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. I promise you, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt when anything comes up to whether it's you didn't fill it out right or a med or an underwriting question comes up. You know, it's like, oh, you know, that app right there is from Bill. Well, Bill knows what he's doing. We're good to go. We see apps from Bill all the time. So that's going to be something that is to your advantage also. Another thing too, you know, if you try to keep your circle smaller, you can obviously qualify for carrier trips, which is a nice little bonus for us. It's always kind of a battle there because, yes, we'd like to put absolutely all of our business with this company and go on their trip, but that might not be the best deal for our client, and that might not be the best commission. You might not get paid the best on it either. So that's definitely why it would be tough to have one company that you put everything through, because we do want to make sure we can get people level coverage when we can. And all other things being equal, we want to get paid as well as we can too. You know, so if we can get them level in a couple places and the premiums are exactly the same, we want to go with the one that's going to have the easiest issue process for us and pay us the best, because it's no different from the client's perspective if those things are the same. So, but if you can keep your circle smaller and get comfortable with those, and that's not to try to push any one of you in any certain direction. You know, we have guys that prefer different carriers for different reasons, and they're comfortable with them, and that is completely all right. But if you can find out who that exactly is for you, there's benefits to it. So, any questions on that? Okay. What I'd like to do now is just kind of open it up for anything anybody has, whether it's objections, a certain carrier, a certain product, closing, setting your week up. Any questions that anybody has? Nothing. Wonderful. That's the best. Everybody's got it all ironed out. A couple other things to touch on. And I just wanted to throw this out there in case that any of you got wind of this, from anybody else or any other IMOs. Cause we're not, you know, our fixed cost lead program comes through RGI and we're not the only IMO that uses RGI, but, RGI did put a release out to all of our IMOs, regarding some, heads up on leads in the coming months here. Their first was just wanted everybody to have a fully informed, thought process going forward as far as, election mailings, possibly slowing down lead returns, as far as holiday months. I can tell you that Pacesetter, historically, we've never seen a slowdown in mail returns with holidays. I mean, we've always mailed strong all the way up through Christmas, and have not seen a slowdown. So I don't anticipate that to be an issue. As far as election mailings, I mean, the election's next week. So if there's any slowdowns, you know, we would see that like right now from things that have went out. I don't think that's going to be an issue either. Yeah, the holiday months, November and December, you know, the only thing that we've actually ever even given any thought to in those months as far as producing leads is that, you know, we didn't want mail hitting their house on like Thanksgiving, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, or we didn't want mail hitting their house on like the 23rd, 24th, 25th. You know, so we time drops accordingly to prevent that. But other than that, we were able to produce leads, you know, week in and week out all the way through the holidays. So another thing that RGI announced that ties in with that is that, you know, since they think that there could be less returns, they actually instituted a $2 per lead increase for any mail that is ordered between the months of November and December. So any order that's put in between this past Tuesday here all the way up through December 31st, that any lead that came back from orders that were placed during that time would have a $2 surcharge on them. At Pacesetter, we're going to actually cover that increase for our agents. So that's not something that won't hit their pocketbooks. You know, we always want to try to sit back and think of whatever we can do to make it easier for agents to write business and make it more profitable for them to write business. So we're going to actually cover that, ourselves. So your lead cost will not change at all. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So catch wind of that from somewhere else that RGI is bumping leads up $2 for the holidays, that does not affect any of our paper agents. We will eat that ourselves and do everything we can to help you stay productive and profitable through the months of November and December.
Appreciate that.
Along with that too, don't forget about our lead co-op that's still going on. Again, that flyer is posted on the website. That's big money that's back in your pocket, you know, based on your production for the month. So if you have any questions on that, give us a holler. I still wish we had, you know, more guys that would take advantage of that. Cause it's something that can, be profitable for you. You know, a lot of guys actually just up their lead flow, up their lead orders at that times, keep their lead costs the same and start getting more leads for that same money that's put out. So it's a way for you to increase your production and be more profitable. Another thing too is, our training site, which has everything that we've talked about, whether it's scripts, our field underwriting guide, which is very helpful when you're deciding, you know, where you can and can't get somebody level coverage or how does each carrier treat a specific health condition. That's on our website. Conference calls, this call is being recorded and will be on our website if you want to refer to it later. Again, that's just, Pacesetter Advantage.com/training. the password that you'll need when you get to that site is agent-training. So drop any of us an email if you need that information again. So other than that, unless anybody has any questions or anything they want to toss out for the gallery, we'll wrap things up.
Hey, Matt, this is Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Would you speak to the fallacy of you can't write insurance in December?
Yeah, that's just a lazy agent's thinking that's trying to find a way to stay at home and drink eggnog and sit by the Christmas tree, I think. We've always been very productive, November and December both. You know, what I've found from being in the field for 16 years is usually the week of Thanksgiving, I'll work Monday and Tuesday. I'll shut it down by Wednesday because by Wednesday, a lot of people have family coming in or they'll be heading out to see family. And then Christmas, I mean, it kind of really depends on the day that Christmas falls during the week. But you know, if you look at our calendar this year, there's really not, Christmas falls on a Sunday. There's really not any time that you're not going to be able to work. I mean, that Christmas falls on a Sunday. There's no reason you can't work all the way up through the 23rd, which is that Friday, and be completely fine. And then to be back to work that week in between Christmas and New Year's, you're not going to have any trouble either. That absolutely a fallacy is the best way to put that. Or guys looking for excuses. Because you know, when it comes to the final expense business, you know, most of our clientele is not taken off for a week or 2 weeks. I'm not saying that doesn't happen because it, you know, obviously there'll be some that are going to travel for the holidays, but most of our clientele is going to be home and they're going to be there. It's something that I have found, you will probably have a little bit less success on the telephone at those times setting appointments.
What? You do?
Something I have found is you might have a little bit less success on the telephone during those times because people will use it as a convenient excuse to put you off. You know, so if you call in that you know, second week of December, it's not long ago, call after the holidays. So usually by Thanksgiving, I'll turn into a 100% door knocker for the month of December. Or the last week in November and the month of December. Because if you go show up at their door and you've got your handwritten lead and you let them know it's only going to take 10, 15 minutes, you're going to get indoors just fine. But other than that, there's no reason that you shouldn't have just as much production in November and December that you do in the other months. If you don't and you let the holiday become an issue, then that's simply that you let it or you're looking for an excuse. But you can go out and be just as productive in December as you can in November. So, thanks for bringing that up, Jerry.
You're welcome. Well, I think both of those holidays are, well, they're family orientated, number one. And part of what we're trying to do is when we're making a presentation is mentioning that this is as much for family as it is for anyone. And they're more, I think they think more about family during those times of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that you people can do a better job of incorporating into their presentations at that time of the year too. But, you're talking and thinking about getting gifts for your family. Well, this is one of the ultimate gifts that you can give to them to take that burden off of them.
Yep.
Well, all right. Anybody else have any questions, concerns, anything they want to talk about? All right. Well, we'll wrap it up then. I thank you guys all for being on here today. Hopefully it was worth your time and that everybody can walk away with something that'll help them as they move forward into next week. Hope you guys all have a great weekend. I'll be in the office the rest of the day. If there's anything I can help you out with, And also, don't ever hesitate to call Jerry and the gals in his office, because they're always available also. So hope you guys have a safe and happy weekend.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Bye now.